This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We got 15 minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy Wednesday afternoon. I hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather. Welcome to the program. Speaking of time to fly, let's talk about that very subject, shall we? With Chris Graham, the founder and the editor at the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, let's talk about a couple of gentlemen here in Virginia, and it's time for one to fly, that's for sure. He done flown. Dave Leto, indeed. You, of course, write about politics and sports and arts and entertainment and culture, all sorts of stuff at the Augusta Free Press, and you've been following Virginia basketball for quite some time. And we'll also talk about Jeff Frederick, current chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia, that many, many Republicans, top Republicans, including their gubernatorial candidate, Bob McDonnell, would like Jeff Frederick to fly from his position. But let's start with Leto. Your thoughts?
I've been following Virginia basketball since Rerun went to the Doobie Brothers concert. So.
That's very nice. nice tie-in.
Unfortunately, things have gone downhill since then. That was the beginning of the Ralph Sampson era. Yeah, it's. I wasn't surprised by what happened this week with Dave Leto resigning. I guess we can all say under pressure. That 10-18 record really being just a part of that. Looking at the attendance figures this year. The average for the 17 home games was right over 10,200. The John Paul Jones Arena, 3 years old now, holds 15,600. You're talking about 90,000 tickets unsold. You do some quick math on tickets and concessions that are lost there. You're talking $3-4 million potentially in lost revenue. And I don't know if you can afford not to replace a coach 4 years into his run with a 10-18 team that, you know, on paper, with the players who are there, the recruits coming in, you can't say it's necessarily going to get better anytime soon because of economics. I think that's the simple thing to push this.
Yeah, and we've certainly heard that from our own Jay James, who talks about that the key to this whole thing is putting, as he says, derrieres in the chairs. You need folks to fill that nice, brand-new, beautiful arena.
Yeah, and you want the folks to be home folks, too. The two games this year that I remember had the best attendance were the North Carolina and Maryland games. A lot of Carolina blue and Maryland red in the lower sections of those games, not to mention just throughout the arena there. And, I think a new coach could actually do some stuff with the players he has available. We're going to have to see how it shakes out, what players may leave early. When Dave Leto came in 4 years ago, Gary Forbes, for example, a really talented player, I think he was a second-year player that year on Pete Gillen's last team, decided to leave, went to UMass, was A-10 player of the year his last season at UMass, and you would have loved to have had him in uniform down here to help us open the new JPJ a couple years ago. But I think if the nucleus stays, and I expect they will, because, of course, college players who transfer have to sit out a year, and I don't know that, for example, Sylvan Landisberg will really want to sit out a year, or Mike Scott or Jeff Jones, a couple of the other key players who could be back. I don't think they're going to want to sit out a year. So if you look at that, I think a coach with the right X's and O's and maybe a new injection of attitude into the mix there can maybe, make that team be competitive for, NCAA bid, NIT bid, CBI bid, something like that, with his first team. And, of course, that John Paul Jones Arena, we've been thinking for a while, is going to recruit some kids just by itself. Outside of Sylvan Landisberg, we haven't seen it yet, but a new coach will definitely inject life into the fan base, and I think will help fill the arena up next year, which will be one key consideration. And then it's just a matter of, whatever Craig Littlepage and the administration do now, the pressure's on them. They can't screw this one up. We've already made one mistake with the new arena. If we're talking here in 4 years about the fact that they're hiring another new coach, that $200 million investment in JPJ has gone down the tubes.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, your thoughts? I've read recently some folks complaining that, the guy resigns and they give him $2 million not necessarily buy him out, but as part of the package deal. And I've seen some folks say, UVA just has its priorities so mixed up. If, somebody resigns because he's not performing and you still give him $2 million, his contract holds him to $2 million. Certainly nothing like what we're seeing at AIG, but it does make you think. That's $2 million that could have gone into making high-tech classrooms, money that could have been spent in the classroom.
I think we have to remember one thing about sports, and I've tried to comment on this on our website too, because there was a reader made a similar comment on one of the stories that we wrote about this week. The athletics departments and academics departments at major universities like UVA are pretty much separate and distinct. The athletics department funds itself. It's really almost a separate entity, really, on grounds there at UVA, there's the weird dichotomy there, because even though there's separate budgets and separate and distinct in that way, you know, Craig Littlepage still has to answer to the folks, you know, over in John Castine's office and his part of grounds, but it's not like they're taking money away from, you know, new physics labs or upgrades to the chemistry building or improvements to the E school or A school to give Dave Lato and Al Groh their contract extensions. And in fact, UVA, unlike many schools, actually tries to use money that it gets from athletics profits. You know, when the team goes to a big bowl game in football, for example, or makes a long run, which has been a while, but long run into an NCAA tournament, they'll use that money to actually fund some academic operations. So that's not usually the case at most schools. But yeah, at UVA, it's not quite either or. Now, where it does really overlap is, of course, the money that really comes to fund athletics operations, just like to a great degree academic operations, comes from that support base, the alum base, and the donors out there who provide money for endowments and that kind of thing. And a lot of those alums and other supporters are making decisions to fund the athletics program. The argument could be made they should or could be supporting the academics program instead with those dollars. And that's where that real question comes down. But you know, the monies are definitely there for both. Then the question should be, are we just over-prioritizing athletics? And that's a bigger question, maybe a completely different topic.
Yeah, and UVA's been grappling with that since the Gooch Report and since the 1950s.
We didn't join the ACC the first year we could have, so we're not technically an original member, even though we are, because we didn't want to play bowl games and we didn't want to join the ACC and be a part of big-time athletics. And really, even to this day, John Castine, you know, he definitely feels... Yeah, the comments he made right before the Virginia Tech football game at home a couple years ago about how our fan base and our alum base and our academic mission really are you know, distinct things. And so it's something we definitely feel there, that and I'm even one of those guys. I'm a huge sports guy, but you know, I wonder if sometimes we don't have the priorities quite in order that we need to.
Chris Graham, founder and editor at the Augusta Free Press, located in beautiful downtown Waynesboro, just over the mountain from us. You can check him out online at AugustaFreePress.com. Let's talk about another gentleman here in Virginia as we turn the page from sports to politics. Another gentleman that some folks wish would fly the coop, and others would say, leave him alone, he's doing a great job. And that is one Jeff Frederick of Prince William County, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, and also recently won election as chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia. Some would say a strident conservative who ousted the political moderate former Lieutenant Governor John Hager. Jeff Frederick is fill us in. Tell folks who may not know what's going on with Jeff Frederick, Chris.
Well, the five elected Republican congressmen have all said that they would like to see him resign. Speaker of the House Bill Howe has said something similar. Really, a number of state Republican leaders, I think the only two prominent who have not, I think it's Bill Bowling and Morgan Griffith, the House Majority Leader, who have not come out and publicly said they think he needs to step down. But a number of elected Republicans have made it clear that they think that the party is heading in the wrong direction and that a change is needed. Now, this is the kind of thing that's kind of expected, I think, in a year after what happened in Virginia last year with Barack Obama becoming the first Democratic presidential candidate in 44 years to win Virginia's electoral votes. We saw Mark Warner win that Senate race, you know, by an overwhelming landslide, a historic landslide in Virginia, certainly in the last 30 years. And of course, Republicans losing control of the House of Representatives as far as the Virginia congressional delegation goes as well. So, in the context of that, it's not a surprise to see Republicans saying, okay, the person in charge when all that happened needs to be moving on. But Virginia has that unique thing to its electoral schedule where the year after presidential election, of course, is a huge state election with all three statewide offices and the House of Delegates all up for grabs. And so it's not the ideal time, to say the least, for a party to be considering changes at the top because of issues related to performance in elections. And so this is a kind of thing that Republicans, with the fight becoming this public right now, it's not good timing, to say the least, for Bob McDonnell, for Bill Bowling, whoever might get that attorney general's nomination, to see their party really at each other's throats. We're seeing it at the national level. The same kind of things going on. Rush Limbaugh and Michael Steele are at each other. Meghan McCain and Laura Ingraham and Ann Coulter are all fighting. And,
yeah.
You kind of see that. It's part of a four-year cycle at the national level. You know, they'll patch things up in time for 2011 and early 2012, and at least you think, theoretically they will, and that national party will be back on the right track. But the state Republicans don't need to be having this fight right now amongst themselves, considering the stakes of this year's elections.
Yeah, and this is the last thing Bob McDonnell wants, who's the Republican nominee for governor, and he is among those who have called for Jeff Frederick to step down. And to me, that's the big thing. And in terms of full disclosure, Bob McDonald's been a regular guest on this program for years. I know him personally. I like him very much. I think he's running thus far a very smart campaign. When your party's nominee for governor looks at you as the chairman of the party and says, "I need you to step down," it really takes a unique individual to say no.
And that's what Jeff Frederick's doing, and that's what's the real twist to the story. Yeah, it's not maybe so much of an interesting thing that, well, Republicans are infighting. They've lost the last couple of elections here in Virginia, and of course the national Republicans are struggling as well. But for the person thus asked to fall on his sword to refuse, and not just refuse, but to fight back the way Jeff Frederick is, with a marketing and media campaign that is really putting the attack back on those elected officials and those candidates who are running, Bob McDonnell included among them, to say, look, I'm the leader of the grassroots Republican Party. I was elected by the grassroots to lead this party back in the right direction, and the elected officials are trying to take us in the wrong direction. Whoa, you don't need to have that fight publicly.
Yeah.
If you want to have it privately, if you want to send emails or you want to make personal phone calls to people and try to persuade them behind the scenes, go ahead and do that. But to do this is just so much ammunition for it's not just ammunition for Democrats, of course, but it's got to be something that's tearing at the base of the GOP. And it's something we've noticed over here in the Valley for quite a while. Emmett Hanger, the state senator who represents Augusta County and parts of surrounding counties here, he's been under attack. He's called by his own party members, conservative party members, a rhino, Republican in name only, a very strong, long-term, moderate Republican who's been elected here. He was in the House delegates down in the state Senate for 12 years. And he's been under attack by the conservative wing of the party here. And so that got our attention journalistically, several years ago as to the beginnings of this fight. We see it now at the state level, and we feel like we've, kind of been over here privy to what's been happening now for several years, and it's not pretty. It's still not pretty over here. Emmett Hanger beat back a strong primary challenge from a really conservative, ultra-conservative almost, candidate, Scott Sayer, for his nomination to run for the Senate again in 2007 by literally just a few hundred votes, and then won re-election quite easily. But that candidate, Scott Sayer, is being talked about as either challenging him in 2011 for the nomination again, maybe even running for Bob Goodlatte, the 6th District Congressman's nomination in 2010, with the perception that Bob Goodlatte, who a lot of people, including me, think is a pretty strong conservative, is not conservative enough. So that's the fight right now, and Republicans really need to decide where the future of their party is. But again, this is maybe not the best year to be doing that.
Chris Graham, the founder and editor of the Augusta Free Press, and before we let you go, let's turn the page back to sports and congratulate you as the new general manager of the Washington Generals. And for folks in Central Virginia who've scratching their heads and have never heard of the Generals, fill us in.
Waynesboro Generals, we are we're part of the Valley League, which is a summer college baseball league. We have players from up and down the East Coast. I think this year's roster includes three UVA players, but it's a Major League Baseball sanctioned league. We're like the Cape Cod League, for those who might have heard of that league up in the Northeast. We are pretty much either the second or even in some years the first best Major League Baseball affiliated summer league baseball team. Two of the last three World Series MVPs played in our league. Mike Lowell, the Boston Red Sox third baseman, played with Waynesboro 15 years ago. We play with wooden bats. We have teams in 12 cities from Waynesboro included, all the way up to Haymarket near Dulles Airport. I think we've had a team in the past in Charlottesville, but that team fell by the wayside about 20-some years ago. But it's really good quality baseball. We play Major League-style baseball, and in a few years, some of our guys will be playing in the big leagues. And we play a 44-game schedule, pretty packed schedule. Our Waynesboro team, of which I was named general manager a few weeks ago, we're 3-time defending regular season champions. So we have a good thing going on over here, and would love folks from Charlottesville and Albemarle to come over and check out some of our games and see some of the UVA players in action.
Now, what's the website for the team?
WaynesboroGenerals.com.
There you go. And Chris Graham is at AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, always great to talk to you. Thanks, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.